It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Our guest today is Mike Lucia. He's vineyard manager at Cole Ranch in Mendocino County. Mike, good to see you, man. It is the smallest AVA in the United States.
It is the smallest AVA in the United States. There's an AVA in Hawaii, I believe, but it will be... They're planting it currently, and it will be bigger than Cole Ranch. But I think there's only 10 acres of it planted at the moment. So
okay.
They're kind of claiming it's the smallest AVA, but it eventually will not.
The Cole Ranch AVA, it's vineyards. There's no actual wineries on Cole Ranch.
No.
And you're the vineyard manager.
Oh, we own the property.
Okay, very
cool.
Yeah,
so our family owns Cole Ranch. We purchased it from some partners, three partners, Bill Carl, who's used to be a lawyer here in Santa Rosa, wine lawyer. Brian White, who's a grower in Hopland, Ukiah. And then they had a silent partner. So I used to buy fruit from... I used to make Bill Carl's wine at Sugarloaf Custom Crush in Santa Rosa.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I used to buy fruit from Brian White. So I had no idea I knew these guys. And when we were looking, just kind of playing around the idea with land, Brian and Bill both came to me and they said, you know, we have this vineyard called Cole Ranch. And I thought it was a joke. You know, like, haha, you know, America's Smallest AVA. Cool, right on. And they kind of dragged their heels for a long time trying to find the right person to purchase the vineyard who's going to treat it the way that John Cole would want his property to be treated. And so long short of it, we ended up striking a deal in 2019, November. So we made our first wine of Riesling in November 2019.
Wow.
And have been selling fruit and making wine and transitioning a lot of the acreage over to Alpine varieties. Since then.
It begs the question, who's Cole?
John Cole. So
my middle name is Cole.
Oh, you're Cole. Yeah. You're bad Cole.
Yeah.
All right.
So I get free wine from the vineyard. Right?
I just browned out right there. I don't know. I don't remember what you said.
And what's his story?
So he's an engineer. He's recently passed away last year. And his wife's a dentist in Ukiah. But he started a ranch, on the 253 between Boonville and Ukiah, and it originally was going to be a cattle ranch, and then he slowly started grafting it or planting it to grapes that he liked, right? Without any thought to it, really saying like, "Oh, Riesling is going to be the best, and Cabernet is going to be the best," and he was just planting what he liked, and he liked Cabernet, Merlot, and Riesling. And so he was selling the fruit to Fetzer, Chateau Saint Jean, and a handful of other wineries at the time in the early 80s. And then in 1984, he petitioned, and I had the petition. If you ever want to see it, I'll send it to you, for Cole Ranch to become an AVA. And he got it, which is pretty interesting.
It's interesting that they would give such a small area an AVA, right, Dan?
Yes, absolutely. But, Steve, there was nothing else growing anywhere near there. I mean, it's really out there by itself.
Yeah.
And that's the whole reason that it becomes an appellation, because as a ranch, you would think to yourself, well, if it's good, then neighbors will plant. Well, nobody did. I mean, for years and years, nobody planted out there. It's really not easy to plant out there. It's tricky to grow and tricky to farm it.
Mike, go ahead.
And we're learning that as well. And I wish you had told me this 4 years ago because I'm struggling right now with this new rootstock that we put out there. You know, we had 26 acres of Cabernet, and the first thing I did was graft 6 of it over and then tear out 10, compost the soil,
wow,
put in whole new irrigation, sprinkler systems, and rootstock, and doing it all organically has been a struggle. I think half of the rootstock out of the 10 acres is viable.
Explain rootstock for our non-wine-loving listeners.
Yeah, so rootstock is kind of like it's the driving force behind the grapes itself. It's the engine. It's what goes into the ground and puts its feet in the ground and pulls up all the soil, the terroir, the nutrients, the water, and then above the root stock is where you get the variety. So you start with root stock, and then you can graft a bud of a variety onto that rootstock, just like a rose plant or a cherry tree.
Right.
You can now put a new personality on that rootstock. So you have a rootstock that is drought tolerant or a rootstock that is water loving.
There's also a trunk too. The rootstock grows up onto a trunk. It's the delivery system that goes up to where the what they call the scion wood or the top wood is located.
Yeah.
And as you put the material on the top, it's going to be a little bit different depending on. I mean, I've been to vineyards where the root system is one thing, and then the trunk is skinny. It's like less than an inch around. I mean, there's almost no delivery system. But that changes how the grapes will grow on top.
And Cole Ranch is, it's a little confusing because I'm the smallest AVA in the country. How many different wines are you making from there?
Currently I'm making eight or nine different wines from Cole Ranch.
But it's interesting to point
and
out.
And it's a microclimate, right?
It's definitely micro. Yeah. And there's three different soil types.
What's really interesting for me is that there are so many different grapes of different types growing in Cole Ranch. Cole Ranch is only 80 acres, but how many different varieties do you have growing there?
It was 55 acres planted and different varieties. Well, I mean, we have originally from John Cole, it was Cabernet, Merlot, Riesling. Then later, Pinot Noir was planted. Then we grafted over Trousseau, Pulsard, Sauvignon, Trousseau Gris. What am I missing here? A little bit of Chardonnay.
Like 20 varieties?
Yeah. And it all. We're finding out what works. And, you know, Riesling was the one that shines. And so now we're realizing, you know, it's definitely that cool climate, high acid, bright, high tone site.
We're going to taste something from Cole Ranch in a second. First, we took a small taste of Dan's cellar wine that he brings in on California Wine Country. And it's a Grenache Blanc?
Grenache Blanc from Trecini. And we actually had this when Dan Barwick first released it.
I liked Trecini.
Yeah, and this is from Rockpile, which is up there in the Healdsburg area. Interesting wine. It's got some nice aromatics. It's tropical. But
a little sweet for
it's
me.
It's a little on the sweet side, yeah. And it's very nice. I can imagine how this would work with certain types of really rich shellfish if it's chilled down. So because the sweetness of the wine is a little bit difficult to pair something with. So you have a little bit of lobster with this. So it's like a Chardonnay alternative.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. It's got some nice flavors. It's just not cold enough right at this point. That's all.
He is Mike Lucia, vineyard manager for Cole Ranch up in Mendocino County, the smallest AVA in America. What is this that you poured?
Tasting is the Balfretti Riesling.
This is yours.
And but it's from Mike's fruit. So this and my winemaker and I would walk the vineyard. And this is a spectacular Riesling vineyard, as far as I'm concerned. One of the only reasons I decided to make wine in the first place was that I could get my hands on a ton of this stuff. This is phenomenal Riesling.
And Greg La Follette made this?
Greg made the wine with
you.
I came up with the answer for the yeast that we're using. And we've got another one here that Mike made from that vineyard. And we'll try that side by side. This one is completely dry.
I do love this.
Really, really dry. It's There's no sugar in here whatsoever. Yeah. It's low alcohol, very low pH.
What year?
2022.
Okay.
And it's just now beginning to show. In fact, we haven't released the wine yet. It's called Balfretti, Balfretty, which is Bündling for dry, for great wine. Great wine.
Great wine, yes.
And we're gonna release this wine here in about... We've already sold three cases, but we're going to release it in about 2 weeks. And it's fabulous. I think it's fabulous wine. If you like really dry and you like it, here's your glass again.
I'm loving it.
All right.
Mike, your thoughts on this wine?
I like it in the sense that it expresses the Cole Ranch 100%. Like, there's a certain texture that you get from Cole Ranch. Riesling that you don't get any other Riesling vineyard in California. I think once you get to understand Cole Ranch Riesling, you can blind taste it and you can pick it, you can pull it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this take on Cole Ranch Riesling. I like the idea of using a couple different yeast profiles. It's something that I don't do, and so I like to see where this. I've been curious about this project since we began working together, and I'm a big acid head, so I love, like, you know, hey girl,
you're in the right room.
Yeah, right. Home.
Solid. We call this show NPR on acid.
I like it.
In fact, I'm tripping right now. I'm not even here. I am tripping.
So yeah, this is a great wine, and I think to Dan's point too. Like in another year, this wine will be better. It just it takes a while for Riesling to really become Riesling in bottle, and that's why I don't release one of my Rieslings for a year after bottling it, at least, just so it can get that aromatic, that petrol can come out.
Dan,
we wanted to release this wine 1.5 years out, 18 months out, because we felt a year and a half wasn't barely enough. It's now close to that, and it's just about now getting to that point where the wine is actually interesting. I poured this wine for a German wine guy who I really love, a German wine lover, and he thought that the wine shouldn't be released for 3 years. And I said, no, you know, it's commercial, and I got to make my money back. I already paid for the fruit and all the other techniques and everything else. So I got to at least try to get my money back for it. He said, okay, sell me some. And I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to put it into my cellar for about 3 years. So no, that's one of the reasons why this. But the wine exists for one reason, because I knew how good the Riesling fruit was on this property. And I contacted Mike a year earlier, and he was already completely committed, so we couldn't get any fruit. So in 2022, he bent over backwards and got me a ton of this stuff. This is a this may be the best Riesling vineyard. I think it is the best Riesling vineyard in the United States.
So this new project, Dan LaFollette, is, it is Dan, right?
No, it's Greg LaFollette.
Greg, I'm sorry.
Dan, whoever I am. Whoever.
I don't know. We have 50 people in here as guests every month. I can't remember. You know what I mean, Bill.
I
am not playing this weekend at Hop Monk.
Yeah, no, you're Dan. That's what I was thinking of. Mike Lucia is here. He's the vineyard manager for Cole Ranch up in Mendocino County. This is a fascinating story, and this is a great wine right here.
Yeah.
How do they get your wines, Dan? When you're
well, I have a Balfreddy.com is the website. BAHL.
And maybe Freddy. Besides agreeing to do this show with me for the last 10 years, one of the dumbest things you have ever done is the name of your wines.
It's Bootling.
I know it means something to you, but okay. Who the hell knows? And then you just spelled out.
I tried to put my name on this, that probably would have kicked it back and said there are too many other burgers out there. So we came up with this. It was kind of weird.
His target market is the frat boys.
I see what you're going for here, but that should be like a underneath the main title. Then you put that in there, and then you put a little thing that says Bootling for great wine.
Yeah.
But it should be called Dan or something.
Well, there is a brand
called
Dan.
You can call it anything you want.
Oh, I will. Just like I can call you anything I want.
No problem with that. I got a thick skin.
Nobody loves you more than me, man. Okay. This is really good.
It's delicious. You can have more. I didn't bring a second bottle, but you can drink as much of this. Now, he's got one from Cole Ranch, which is the same vintage.
Same vintage, but this actually has gone native, so it's no yeast added. So we let the indigenous yeast that's in the vineyard and or the winery or whatever it picks up along the way to ferment. So this takes a lot longer to ferment. It usually doesn't go kind of dry.
Let me see the label. Is this the Root Down?
This is the Cole Ranch brand. So I have three brands. I have three wine brands. Cole Ranch it births the brands, right? So Cole Ranch brand is the original plantings from John Cole in 1973. So these vines are 50 years old.
Good grief.
And so the Cole Ranch brand is just what John Cole planted, Riesling, Merlot, Cab. That's it. The Root Down brand is what I've put out there in 2020. So it's the Jura varieties that we're going to taste a little bit here as well, a little bit later.
Wow.
So this
is the perfumiest wine I've tasted
Whole different aromatic because this was made in a different way. The yeast strain that was used here is a wild yeast. It's a natural yeast that comes right out of a vineyard. I used prepared yeast. And my prepared yeast, it was intended for the wine to age for 5 to 7 years before you ever get around to the aromatics. This wine has got aromatics right up front, and it's gorgeous. It's really striking.
And we don't use, you know, we're very low on the sulfur program as well. The pH on these wines are so low that you don't need to add any preservatives or antioxidants. So the only thing
that's
we do to
this wine,
the only thing we do this wine is sterile filter it. Because if there is some residual sugar in there, which there is a little couple
that's what
grams,
they've done to me.
They sterile filtered you?
Yeah.
I don't know. We come back next week.
Sorry, I can't help myself. Wow.
So this is a 2022. Also, mine is a 22. This is a 22. This is called Root Down, and this is available at the Tasting Room in Healdsburg.
Well, we actually just left our tasting room in September. So we're doing tastings, but you just have to reach out to us for the location.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a pop-up?
Sort of, yes.
Yeah, tasting?
Yeah. We're on our property. I just don't give out my property on radio.
Yeah.
You know?
Nor do I.
Yeah, smart man. But yeah, or you can go on our website as well, you know, Root Down. Our website. I'm just kidding. It's rootdownwine.com.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, and then once you reach rootdownwine.com, then it can get you to other brands, the Cole Ranch brands, and then it has all the information that you need on all the wines as well.
Dan, just to talk a bit more about this.
Well, the aromatics of this really show what Cole Ranch is about. That's one of the reasons that I was so excited, because when you get a really great Riesling, regardless of where it's from, whether it's from Germany or South Africa, wherever, a great Riesling shows its soil. We call it terroir. It basically relates to how the fruit is grown and allows for the soil or the site to show up in the aromatics of the wine. So this is really an example of how Cole Ranch will give you different things. And look, these vines probably were no more than a few feet apart. So there was no, even micro climate didn't make an impact. What you're dealing with here is the soil of Cole Ranch and the aspect and the weather conditions of the 2022 vintage. So this is a wine that really shows much more aromatically than my wine is much more reined in and tighter. And with zero sugar. This one's got a trace of sugar. So, but both wines are aimed at getting better in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
These wines will both improve significantly. Now, a lot of people in the United States who buy Riesling think of Riesling as you buy it, drink it. What Mike and I and a few other people are trying to do is to make wine that shows what it can do with a little age. And that's what we've shown here.
I think the more wines that you drink outside of your wheelhouse is going to help you out as well. So, like, you know, I've always been a food person, right? Especially like sushi or you know, Japanese cuisine. And Riesling's always been my go-to is Riesling and sake. But then once you start having aged, vintaged Riesling, you can really understand what it can do.
Yeah,
that's like an aha moment, you know, in your life as aged Riesling.
And Dan, you've mentioned that many times over the years, and
with a lot of wine,
I agree.
A lot of people, especially a good Riesling, let it rest. My favorite Rieslings right now for my cellar are from 2001, 2002.
Wow.
Now a lot of people will say, "Well, those are over the hill." Well, to you, it's over the hill. To me, it's just beginning to show what it really is.
And that's why I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger for the last 10 years. The Cole Ranch AVA is the smallest in North America, and it's an isolated viticultural area of less than 1/4 square mile, which is amazing. It sits between the Russian River and Anderson Valley up in Mendocino County. It's a great story, and Mike, what do you got coming up? I mean, what are you looking at here? And how do people get these wines?
What's coming up in the vineyard?
Yeah, start there, and then we want to talk about the wines we're tasting, how my listeners can get some.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what's coming up in the vineyard right now is kind of our project that we started in 2020, which is some clones uh, that clones. I remember your listeners. What are clones? Clones are different personalities of a grape. So
right.
Pinot has a million different clones, right? So we're putting these varieties in from the Jura, which is I call it kind of poor man's Burgundy. It's just east of Burgundy, and so there's Pinot Noir that grows there, but their main variety is Trousseau. And then you have a little bit of Pulsard out there as a red wine, and a white that's called Sauvignon, which is in the Treminer family, and then Chardonnay.
And now with this translation is Dan Berger.
These are grape varieties that have always existed in the area known as the Jura, J-U-R-A. It's an area where a lot of these varieties have made wines that they call Vinjaune. V-I-N space J-A-U-N-E. These are wines where they don't mind, in fact, they prefer that the wine oxidize while they're still fermenting. So these are called Vinjaunes, they're called yellow wines. And they remind you a little teeny bit of fresher versions of sherry. So they're like sherry.
Really?
Yeah, they're unusual. They don't sell particularly well in the United States in that style. But what we get from those varieties when they're made traditionally is interesting, if not completely fascinating. And those grapes that you planted,
yeah,
would theoretically would make great wine in other regions. But in a great property like Cole Ranch, they should make spectacular wine. Look, one of my favorite wines of all time is your Gamay. And I've tasted the Gamay from your property. Other people have made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's delicious. But Gamay is hard to sell.
It is, but that's what we're here to educate, right?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, that's one of the reasons you grow this.
And so the Sauvignon that we make, we don't make it in the yellow style, in the Jaune style. We make it in the Vert style, or the Oui, which means fresh.
Oui.
Oui.
That's about the only French I can speak.
Yeah, Oui. And so but we have two different Sauvignon clones. One's called Sauvignon Vert, which is green, and Sauvignon Jaune, which is yellow. And they come from two different producers in the Jura.
Wow.
And then they're all suitcased in. So suitcasing meaning they're illegal, but they're on our property and it's private. So
I can do illegal.
Yeah, and then we're also you have this this Trousseau that we're going to taste, which is great. And this comes from two producers from the Jura as well. So it's a really special project.
And
so that's kind of the future.
A Trousseau.
Trousseau, yeah. So Trousseau is another light red. One day it was described to me the best way is like a young Trousseau can taste like an old Barolo. At times,
okay.
It has an interesting tannin profile.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, and so it's. I always try to describe people as like Pinot Noir meets a little bit of Zinfandel because there is some fruit behind it. It's delicate, but there's some structure and there's some fruit. But it also could be kind of rustic. It's all over the board.
I like rustic.
Yeah.
Trousseau is not usually seen in the United States as a variety. It's often blended. And one of the reasons it's not favored necessarily is that it typically is not real dark in color.
Mm-hmm.
But the flavors are dark. And the, to me, that's very, very almost seductive in a certain way. That's the kind of wine you want to drink when you're having a party because it goes down easily. It's not like Cabernet is going to be pretty tannic. Merlot is more complex. Trousseau has got much more personality. And I love those wines.
It is a special Monday edition of California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Our guest is Mike Lucia. He's the vineyard manager at Cole Ranch up in Mendocino County. And Dan, since there's four other people in the studio who are all Italian, we're going to call you Dan Bergerino.
Oh,
Bergerino for the next... You wish you were Italian, don't you?
Well, doesn't everybody wish they're either Italian or Irish?
Italian.
Well, that's pretty much the whole world. the whole country of America is either Italian or Irish, right? Anyway, Mike Lucia, vineyard manager at Cole Ranch up in Mendocino County.
For an Italian, you really are slaughtering my name. Lucia.
No.
Lucia.
Just all right. Just being polite.
He's Italian. He's Italian. You wouldn't know it.
Well, my real name is Vicario.
But he doesn't swear that.
Yeah. No, of course not.
Okay, what is this now?
Okay, so that one there is called Perea, and it's a Riesling that I bought off the shelf at Bottle Barn. It's called P-A-R-E-A.
Perea.
Perea, and it's they bought the fruit from Cole Ranch. It's a Cole Ranch Riesling. It's the only reason I bought it. It said Cole Ranch on it.
Yeah.
And beautiful flavors, a little bit more of the petroleum component are sneaking out of that wine right now. It's a year older. It's a 2021, so it's got an extra year of time. And the difference between the two, between the three wines, the two of them are 22s, are still pretty young. Then the third one is a 21, and now is beginning to show that petroleum component.
Yeah, I get that. And there's a lot going on here, especially mid-palate. And then the finish, I'm starving now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
This is a great food one.
You need the food. Yeah.
Well, you can go to his restaurant. So I sold this fruit to my buddy Matt Williams, who has Ramen Gaijin in Sebastopol.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And so I traded him, I think, 150 ramen noodle bowls for one ton of fruit. Pretty sure that's what I got paid. Yeah. So he won.
That's a great restaurant.
It's a great restaurant. It's one of my favorite
restaurants.
We'll talk more about it because I have not been there.
Oh, you should definitely. So the secret to that restaurant is how good the stock is.
Oh, my God.
You could drink the stock from here to the next week, and it's delicious. But there's so many other things going on there. First of all, the noodles are perfect. The additions to the bowl, I mean, there's stuff in there that you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
And when you take one sip, you say, well, this is enough for dinner. I mean, it is dinner, but then it gets better and better. The more you eat it, the more you want more of it. It's just... is a terrific restaurant.
It carries over the next morning very well. If you don't finish it, just
Ramen Gaijin,
bag it up.
It's out in Sebastopol. It's not far from the theaters. It's not far from your buddy who was on your show earlier.
Who? Kai Boy.
Right. It's about walking distance from the theater.
Oh, right.
So basically, you go to the to get ramen first, and then you go to the theater, or vice versa, whatever.
Mike, talk a little more about this particular wine that we're tasting.
Again, I find it, my style is different than all other winemakers I sell the fruit to. At first, I thought this wine had a really interesting aromatic component to it. I was kind of taken back by it, but I thought once it blew off, that petroleum, that beautiful, like... I think it was kind of reductive. It was reduced, right? Which I like in wines. But once you throw a little air in there, then that aromatic really truly popped. The acidity on this, natural, love it. The texture is great. I know exactly where he got the fruit. He didn't take it from the older vine stuff. This is the younger vine Riesling that's in the back. And by I say younger vine, I mean it's maybe 35 years old and not 50 years old.
Right on.
Right. So... and that, to me, is that style. It's usually a little more fresh, a little more lemon zest from that block, whereas the older block that I get my fruit from is a little more textural, a little more weighty, thicker skinned, more pulp, like less pulp, thicker skins.
Yeah.
Dan's block is younger as well, and so that's why his wines are also a little more zingy, if you will, more energy in that block.
And we also call him Dan Zingy. Whatever your last name is. I can't even remember your first name, Phil.
Call me anything you like. It's Irish for today. I think the Perea is made to be broader without sugar. So as opposed to sweeter versions of Riesling can be richer because of the sugar. In this case, there's very little, if any, sugar here. It's a very nicely structured wine, but I think it needs another two more years before it goes through this awkward stage, because right now it smells a little bit like it has that sort of petroleum character that is creeping in. Good Riesling won't lose fruit with time in bottle. I mean, people often think that if you age your Riesling, you're going to lose some fruit, and I think that's incorrect. I think what happens with old Riesling is that the fruit begins to change a little bit. So you get a little bit more quince character. You might get a little bit more spice component. You might get a little bit more earthiness. But the fruit is going to stay. And all it does is it changes, and it becomes more interesting. To me, older Rieslings are fascinating wines because they show where they came from as well as any other white wine grape. And that to me is a secret.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're excited, like talk about like what we're excited about in the future of Cole Ranch on our end as well, is that we're librarying our Rieslings in our warehouse. And so, you know, we're cash poor, right? Because we're winemakers and we're vineyard owners and we're in the wine industry, you know, and we're self-employed, you know, we have zero investors. And so every case that we sell counts. So again, go to my website. I'm just kidding. But also we're excited to like hold back, you know, 14 cases of each vintage because we love aged Riesling. And that will be something special to start releasing 10 years from now.
And you know, honestly, Steve, this is not a project of that makes much money. There's no real money in selling Riesling. Riesling doesn't sell on its own. There are still plenty of people in this world who are passionate about Riesling, but the ultimate experience is to try them when they're at their peak. And that takes time, and time is money, and unfortunately most people don't want to spend the money for an older Riesling. They just risk. It's a risky project to buy an older Riesling. Unless the perfect storage exists for the bottle. You know, I mean, let's say this. You can't take a bottle of Riesling and put it on your TV set and let it sit there for 2 years. It's not going to age properly. It's got to be in a cool cellar. Mm-hmm. But once it is, and let me tell you, my cellar is loaded with Riesling. I can't drink it fast enough.
We have another fun project coming out of Cole Ranch, too, I forgot to mention, Dan, is the we produce our first Jacquere this year.
I have no knowledge of Jacquere at all.
Jacquere is a variety from a region called the Savoie. It's where Mondeuse is grown and more Gamay is grown in the Savoie.
I'm about to call a geek alert, but I'll let him go.
Okay.
we prefer nerd alert.
Nerd alert.
Yeah. It's got a, you know, more of a ring. But yeah, so those are kind of the cool things that we're doing out at Cole Ranch. But the struggle is working in a vineyard that you have 1 month to make some really important decisions, where if you go to the valley floor, you have about 3 months to make the same decisions because of the soil, moisture, temperature, everything about it. And again, like things I didn't know when we purchased the vineyard.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
But we're learning.
It is Cole Ranch. Mike Lucia.
Hey, close.
Vineyard manager at Cole Ranch up in Mendocino County. Mike, go ahead and explain for our 5 o'clockers who are just maybe getting in their cars and listening and are interested in our wine segment. Talk about Cole Ranch, the whole story, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, like we've been talking about, it is a vineyard that was established in 1973 and became its own AVA, American Viticultural Area, in 1983 or 84. And it was only 55 acres planted. The whole property itself was 180 acres. We have three different soil types, which is really interesting. We have tons of different aspects of sun exposure, which is, I think, what makes Cole Ranch so unique, is the fact that it sits in a bowl at 1,500 feet in elevation. So what you're doing is you're getting less sunlight in the morning and less sunlight in the evening hours, right? Because imagine just being up in the Alps. Like, you know, if you're ever in Lake Tahoe and you're around the lake, well, when the sun is setting, it's still blazing hot in Sacramento, right? You're getting full sun in Sacramento.
Right.
But it's dark at the lake. So that imagine that being Cole Ranch. It predominantly was 26 acres of Cabernet. We're now down to 6 acres of Cabernet. I saved the most fertile parts of that because they're pretty old, 50 years old Cabernet. And then we have about 4 acres of Merlot left. And then we planted one more acre of Riesling. So we have 12 acres of Riesling now. And then a smattering of those other Alpine varieties we talked about.
All right. Is this a Pinot?
This is a Trousseau.
A Trousseau. See, this is where I get really confused.
It's Trousseau.
Okay.
This is a young wine, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, this we just released. This just went out in our wine club.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a wine club. We have 3 releases a year, which is great because you don't only just get Root Down wines. You get Cole Ranch wines, and you get our other brand called SOK. It's more your alley. It's kind of like an $18 bottle, you know. That was a jab.
Yes. So oh, yes, jab away, sir.
Yes, I know.
As I said, I'm tripping back here. I'm just...
And so you get it's a great, I think, wine club to be a part of. But this is part of our new wine club release.
Is it MendoWines.com to get to Cole Ranch, or do you have a separate site?
We just go to RootDownWines.com.
RootDownWines.com.
There's another brand. There's two now. That it's amazing. Once you start a brand, all of a sudden the root. Now you see it in a lot of other brands, but root down. And so the name, I came up with it because I'm more concerned about what the vine is drinking than what the sun is giving it. So we're not making sun-driven wines, which is like big, fruit-forward, high-alcohol wines. We're making wines that are textural, high-acid, fresh, ageable, low pH, but just varietally specific. So we don't see any new oak on these wines. Just clean, clean, natural winemaking.
Explain the Trousseau, Dan.
Well, this is a good example of a red wine that was made to be stylistically identical to wines of the 30s, 40s, 50s. So these are wines that have virtually no tannin. So they're, in certain ways, they're like Pinot Noir as a structural, what you taste, structure physically is Pinot Noir. But the flavor profile is completely different. It has a little bit more boysenberry, cranberry kind of smells to it. Then on top of that, the tannins are gone. There's no tannin to speak of. It. What you're tasting is good low alcohol and good structure from good acidity. So the balance is all based on, not on tannin, but it's based on acid. So this wine is a quaffable wine. It sort of it reminds me a little teeny bit of a very high-quality Beaujolais. But it's delicious. It's easy to drink. This is a wine I would not age in the cellar. I think 2 years max, and then get to it, because it's delicious. And I don't know where it's going, frankly. The acid's good. The alcohol's low. Might as well age one bottle, but boy, I think it really you'd be missing something if you age it too long.
We also use stems in this wine too. So he's talking about the texture of the wines. Yeah. So whole cluster is in this wine as well. Wow. So we don't destem it. We keep little stems in there for that tannin.
This has a really interesting spice component to it that I can't identify specifically, but it's delicious.
It's exquisite.
That's a classic word for it.
It really is.
Can you imagine? It would go great with medium weight foods, not heavy foods. It's not going to go with steak. There's not enough tannin here to go with steak.
Yeah.
But can you imagine how great this would go with something like just a simple roast chicken? Delicious
Thanksgiving food. Turkey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm a big Trousseau and cassoulet kind of guy. Just the beans and duck and just stew. It's good.
Again, it's Cole Ranch. Up in Mendocino County, Mike Lucia, the vineyard manager for Cole Ranch, is here. And there's no wineries on Cole Ranch. There's vineyards. And they make wine from all the different grapes on that vineyard. And it's a fascinating story. And again, the smallest AVA in America.
And not easy to get the wines. You have to go directly to Cole Ranch website and basically buy the wine. Do you have any other distribution?
We have... besides our distributors in California and throughout all the other states and whatnot, retail wise, you just have to hope that you walk in the right store. Essentially, we're usually in like smaller mom and pa. You know, the people who buy our wines, the buyers who buy our wines are, you call it geek alert. You said so the geek alerters, you know, who really kind of understand what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we price our wines. We're always less than $38. Across the board,
right on.
You know, starting from 18 to 38, and so it's our goal is to over deliver with wine quality and with that price point.
It's a fascinating story, and they make some fascinating wine. Mike Lucia, vineyard manager at Cole Ranch in Mendocino County. Dan, just speak a little more about Cole Ranch and how unique it is.
Well, it was sort of unanticipated that anybody would discover a property like John Cole did back in the 70s and say, okay, this is a place to plant, because it's cold, trees of
rocky, you said?
It's kind of rocky, it's kind of weird, and fortunately you've got some flat spots there where you can plant, but not every piece of your land is available for planting because it's not usable.
Yeah. No. We could maybe squeeze 4 to 5 more acres out there, but I have no interest in doing that. I'm more or less interested in maintaining what already exists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, makes sense.
So, and we're actually We're changing our row widths and whatnot. We have a new tractor. It's called the Monarch. It's an electric tractor.
Cool.
It'll be self-automated at some point if we ever can get internet out there. We have a vineyard mapped out, and so instead of my guy on the rig, if he's spraying some sort of BioLink spray or anything, or disking, he doesn't need to be on there with his neck turned the whole time backwards, cranking his back around. He can just be behind it or nearby, and it knows the pattern, and it'll disk the ground for you.
I love that.
And the other thing about this that's absolutely one of my favorite reasons for being involved with Mike and his project is that he's like I am. I love the strange varieties, the odd, unintended varieties. Look, there's so much Cabernet out there. There's so much Chardonnay out there. The world doesn't want any more Cabernet or any more Chardonnay. We got plenty, and I've seen every last incarnation of it. Every time you turn around, there's another version of Cabernet and Chardonnay. But what Mike's doing is putting out varieties like this Trousseau or this unusual Pinot Noir that's just delicious. And the whole idea is to try to explore what California soil can do in a cool climate. I mean, think about it this way. We've planted every warm climate that we possibly can, and it's getting warmer.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is more cool climate vineyards to be planted and in places where you're likely to retain cool temperatures for another decade in spite of global climate change.
And we're pretty fortunate, too, with our water source. We never really talk about it. But
I was going to bring that up. The Cole Ranch Vineyard is equipped with its own gravity-fed water source,
mm-hmm.
300 feet above the vineyard.
Yep.
And that was put together by John Cole himself.
He's smart enough to to dam up a spring that's above the vineyard. And I couldn't tell you how many acre feet it is. I've never done that calculation. I don't even know how. But we remove the boards during wintertime, then come February, or this probably March now because we have so much rain, but, we fill that pond up and it's enough water to just kind of crack a little gate valve open. And it's enough to frost protect and irrigate the whole vineyard, of 55 acres for a whole year. And then you recollect recollect that rainwater.
Talk about environmentally, precise.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's terrific. And it makes good wine. I mean, that's the secret to the whole thing is that when you do it right, organic farming and being thoughtful of land, it ends up making great wine. And most people don't understand. Look, how many times have I heard this before? Somebody says, well, it's Gamay. And they say, well, I'm not interested. It's Gamay. Never tasted it, but I'm not interested. Well, aren't you interested in the fact that there are varieties out there that make great wine, but nobody has ever tasted them because people are sort of kind of scared about tasting.
You just get set in your ways. I get it. I drink Coca-Cola. You drink Pepsi or whatever. You know, like, I get it. You're set in your ways. So I kind of always wonder, too, and maybe you can help me out with this, Dan, how much fish emulsion's in my pond. Am I actually fertigating my vineyard?
I ask Dan that every week.
Yes.
Next, I'm going to get a pond.
That depends.
This is a Pinot Noir. What vintage of Pinot Noir were you trying?
This is also 22.
Okay.
I believe this is a Pommard 5. I don't really have a lot of records of Cole Ranch. No new oak in this wine either.
A quick mini geek alert, a Pommard. We've talked about this recently, and I'm still trying to get my head around it. So explain what that is.
Yeah, well, it's another clone from that originally came from Burgundy and from the Pommard region.
Gotcha.
There's like Dijon, there's Pommard, there's all those. And they're all numbered, right? They're numerical on when they came into the States, and they had to go through a heat treatment for 10
certification.
Years.
Certification.
Pinot
Noir for him.
And so this is, I was told it was Pommard 5, and it kind of makes sense because to me, Pommard 5 is a thicker skinned, dark clone of Pinot Noir. It doesn't have a lot of fruit. It's more structured. Hmm. And so it's a great blender as a backbone for Pinot Noir. But this is the wine that gave us that aha moment of Cole Ranch becoming an alpine site. When we were traveling Jura and Savoie in 2020, we were tasting Pinot Noir that tasted like Cole Ranch Pinot. And that's when we said, okay, we're gonna go for it, and we're going to regraft everything
There's a kind of sense memory thing that goes on.
Oh, God, that's good.
That's right? Delicious Pinot.
It is.
And there's no wood here. mean, wow. In years past, weeks past, months past, we've had winemakers from California who make Pinot Noir, and they typically use, you know, oak barrels that are fairly, some of them are fairly new. In this case, this is all fruit. It was basically fruit. It's delicious wine. It's a, what vintage did you say that was?
This 2022.
Yeah. So it's a young wine, probably needs another year or two in the bottle, but it doesn't need a lot of time because this wine is built on fruit. It's all about the spice component from, and the one of the reasons that when Mike said Pommard clone, my first reaction is good. That means that that clone has been in California for 25 or 35 years, mm-hmm. as opposed to some of the newer clones, which are only here for 6-8 years, and we don't know exactly what sites they work best in. In this case, we know a lot about the Pommard mm-hmm. clones, and these are fabulous clones, and they work beautifully because they were bred by the French specifically for Burgundy. They were not bred for anything else. And some of the clones that were coming, the newer ones, are a little trickier. So this is a delicious wine. And if this is, you say $38 for this?
Or $36, somewhere around there.
Well, it's a bargain.
Yes. I agree.
This is right up there with the best.
Dan Berger will be back with us on Friday.
Friday with Clark Smith.
Oh, cool.
And he's bringing his, he'll bring some of the most unusual wines you'll ever taste.
Yeah, we like him.
He's been in Kansas City. He's consulting with a winery in Kansas City this week.
Very cool. He'll be with us on the Friday regular edition of California Wine Country. Mike, thanks so much again.
Of course, yeah, thanks.
Hey, great stuff, dude.
Thanks.
All right.